Now, on our listener's choice feature today, we are looking at how spousal maintenance works in South Africa. This is a concept that aims to provide financial support to a disadvantaged spouse after divorce. And the whole purpose of spousal maintenance is to reduce the burden and the change in lifestyle that may arise from the end of a marriage. You know, because sometimes a divorce is accompanied by financial uncertainties. So the standard of living during the marriage is a big factor. So the court will have to take into account the lifestyle that you enjoyed as a spouse during the marriage so that the disadvantaged spouse can maintain a comparable standard, at the very least, of living post-divorce. And no, as I said earlier, not every spouse is automatically granted maintenance after divorce. The need for a spousal maintenance is evaluated on a case-by-case basis, and the court considers many factors when determining the amount and the duration of maintenance. And that's what we'll find out from our guest in a moment. I want to hear from you, though. Do you receive spousal maintenance? How has that process been for you? Or maybe you are the one that's paying spousal maintenance. Can you share your experiences with us on 011-883-0702? The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. Ryan Skiepas is the director at Kaywood Attorneys. He's going to help us during this conversation. Ryan, thank you for making time for us. Good morning.
Hi, Clement. How are you doing?
I'm okay. We just want to understand more what laws govern spousal maintenance in the country. How does it work?
Well, if you're talking spousal maintenance and the legislation thereon, it's Section 7(1) of the Divorce Act, where a settlement is reached between spouses. In the absence of a settlement, you're looking at Section 7(2) of the Divorce Act, which contains some of the factors that you mentioned earlier for the court whether or not to grant spousal maintenance. And then, of course, you have various case laws setting out the principles for each of these factors.
Okay, so in cases that when you got married, that was not part of the settlement with or an agreement with your spouse, there are other sections of the law that can kick in, even though there was no agreement in that marriage that should there be a divorce, one would be responsible for someone's financial needs.
Yes, so the agreement that I'm referring to is in the divorce process.
Okay.
If the parties agree to maintenance, then moving forward, the maintenance will be as agreed and as ordered. But no, at least if there is no agreement and a disgruntled spouse still requires maintenance, then there are mechanisms in place where a court can determine maintenance, whether there's an agreement or not.
So can we even agree to that at the inception of the marriage itself, where in
no,
the contract,
no.
So we can't do that?
No, that would be specifically in a divorce scenario.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I suppose that would be funny because, like, why are we talking about who's going to care for each other after divorce? We're falling in love here. Okay, who exactly qualifies for spousal maintenance?
Well, that would be any married person. Marriage itself establishes a reciprocal duty to maintain, financially or otherwise, you know, through sickness and health.
Mm.
But one must distinguish between being maintained during the marriage, which is automatic, versus post-divorce spousal maintenance, which is not automatic, as you said earlier. It must first be established.
Mm. Does it matter how long you guys have been married for? Like if we've been married for 2 months, does it make any difference? Can I still claim that?
There is no set duration. Each matter is dealt with on its merits. Obviously, the longer the marriage, the greater the chance of receiving maintenance and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But circumstances could justify where maintenance is to be paid, even where a marriage is of a short or relatively short duration. The duration of the marriage is only one of the factors that you alluded to earlier that the court considers when dealing with maintenance.
Okay. What happens if a spouse feels that they can no longer provide maintenance for the disadvantaged spouse? Can they go to court and say, I do no longer have the financial resources? Or maybe say, this disadvantaged spouse I've been maintaining now has a job, they can look after themselves. How do you deal with it in those circumstances?
Yeah, so if there is a material change in circumstances from where the order was made for spousal maintenance, whether it was agreed or whether it was court ordered, such a spouse or ex-spouse then paying maintenance has remedies available to him or her to approach the court and to either diminish the maintenance or even rescind the maintenance, if obviously the circumstances permit.
Okay, 011. Yes, like what?
No, like, I was just saying, like, not being able to afford the maintenance anymore and proving as much.
Yeah, 011-883-0702. What are your questions? What are your experiences in as far as spousal maintenance is concerned? Your WhatsApp's on 0727021702. I'll get to your questions and experiences in a moment. How is it calculated, Rian? I was reading a case of a millionaire who pursued her estranged husband for maintenance, and he won in court. The husband has actually been paying her about 60,000 rand a month for 2 years, but he stopped doing so, arguing that she was able to support herself and his financial position has changed after being declared a delinquent director. This is now the husband. In circumstances like, do you just say, I need 60,000 rand a month, I need 40,000 rand a month, or you've got to indicate that the kids are in school, this is what my lifestyle was like during the marriage, or this is how much the grocery costs? In other words, what goes into factoring and deciding on the amount that one spouse is going to pay to the disadvantaged spouse?
Yes, well, that is a loaded question. There is no set calculation, you know, unlike child maintenance, which is a given, and where there are formulas to calculate the need of the child as well as each parent's pro rata contribution to that need. Spousal maintenance, on the other hand, has no formulas. So either the parties must negotiate and agree to an amount and a time period, failing which a court can decide using the factors stated in Section 7(2) of the Divorce Act. But no, there are no set calculations other than once you have established the need and once you have established an obligation on the person to pay maintenance, yes, then you can use statements of income and expenses and formulate that in terms of what the court allows or does not allow in terms of expenses. But the factors really determine the outcome of that maintenance dispute. Factors like the existing or prospective means of the parties, the respective earning capacities of the parties, the financial needs and obligations of the parties. Then you have the age of the parties and the duration of the marriage that we touched on.
Yeah.
Then you have the parties' standard of living during the marriage. That is actually a very interesting factor. There are different schools of thought on this factor. On the one hand, it is said that the standard of living should not decline after the divorce, but be maintained on the same standard. And there is case law to substantiate this approach. But on the other hand, we have those who say that it is impossible, especially in South Africa, to maintain the same standard of living after the divorce. And I tend to agree with this approach because where you had one household with usually two incomes paying those joint expenses, you now look at having two separate households but the same income. So unless you deal with spouses where money is no object, you should expect some sort of decline in the standard of living post-divorce, as it is the case in most divorces.
Yes, I mean, absolutely. What happens when, if there's a divorce and someone then decides to stop working because they somehow want to punish a claimant, because now claimant must pay that spousal maintenance and that affects now his... So yeah, what happens if my spouse decides to just stop working, Jay? Yes.
Well, that's where we rely heavily on these case law that dissected these factors for us, because that would come down to a sort of cut your nose to spite your face situation. You can't leave your employment and then seek redress from your spouse. Similarly, you can't leave your employment just to get out of a maintenance obligation. So it has happened. If you can think it has happened before. And there's actually a lot of case law dealing with those with those specific matters where people do something deliberately, expecting then a paycheck from the spouse or ex-spouse.
Okay, let's get to the questions now quickly before we run out of time. Khomotso says... Khomotso from the Free State says, Clement, spousal support after divorce. The question is, can you be granted spousal support if you were working throughout your marriage before the divorce. So I'm assuming that this person after divorce then stopped working. Can you still qualify for it?
Yes, you can if it's during the divorce and you enter your claim for spousal maintenance, then you are going to be entitled to maintenance if so ordered. But once you finalize the divorce and you then become unemployed, you can never claim maintenance from that ex-spouse again. That bug stops with the divorce. If maintenance is not agreed to or ordered by the court, then it stops, it ends. That person can never claim spousal maintenance from that ex-spouse.
Morning, Clement. May you ask your guest, what if I decide to get remarried? Do I still have to pay that spousal support? Because I can't be paying for my current wife and my ex-wife. Thank you. Cooks from Devon.
Yes, Rian?
The short answer is yes. If the marriage to the new spouse, or if the new marriage causes certain expenses in his life that meets the criteria of substantial change in circumstances, then he can go back to court and he can challenge the maintenance again, whether it was agreed to or whether it was. But he's going to have some difficulty. The marriage, the new marriage, is a choice, but also it is a lifestyle that can be continued, and he's also entitled to maintain standard of living. So yes, if it changes, if his new expenses changes to such a degree that he can no longer afford it, then yes, he can go back to court and change the maintenance.
What a conundrum. Another one says, what happens if a couple is married in customary law only? Does one qualify?
Yes. Customary marriage is just as valid as any other marriage. So the same principle applies. Everything that deals, the Maintenance Act, the Divorce Act, everything that applies to a normal, if you can call it that, a normal civil marriage and then leads to a divorce, will also apply to a customary marriage.
Mm-hmm.
There is no distinction between the two.
Okay.
Hi, Clement and team. Why is spousal support only one-directional if both parties were, say, doctors and both had similar sort of income? Why would the husband tend to pay support to the wife if the kids are staying 50-50 on both properties, 1 week with the one week with the other, say they're still close to school? Why does one need to pay and not the other way around? Anyway, cheers.
Is it always one directional? Because I've seen cases where women are paying their ex-husbands.
Yes, it could be both ways. It depends whose income outweighs whose income and to which extent. And then not just it is not just based on each party's respective income and expenses. There are many other factors that the court considers. So it's not necessarily one way. In that specific matter, it would have been that, you know, there was a standard of living, they're both doctors, they both accustomed to a certain standard of living, and you know that it was possible for the standard of living to continue if there's a spousal maintenance order that was made.
Okay, just lastly, Rian, I read another case where the woman was trying to get more money from the ex-spouse, and her reasons was that, well, I've got two kids that are at university, and the ex-husband said, well, I already have a separate arrangements with them because they've reached an age where I can have separate arrangements on how I'm maintaining them. And the court seemed to agree with that point. Is that what some people can do out there and say, I'm not going to pay that money to you, I'm going to maintain the kids myself, especially if they've reached 18 years or older?
Look, there is a point where that can happen. For example, where the children are adult dependents, not living with a parent anymore. But, you know, usually when a child becomes an adult, 18, if everything has gone well at school, that child is still at school when turning 18 and inevitably still lives with one of the parents. And then the Divorce Act does open the door for such a parent to claim maintenance on behalf of a major dependent child. But when everything was said and done and the divorce was finalized and spousal maintenance was granted, you can't come post-divorce and say, I now have more expenses due to the children being at varsity. And you're right. The person paying maintenance has the right to approach his major dependent children on a separate basis and pay their needs accordingly.
Rian, you have been incredible in helping us understand how spousal maintenance works in South Africa. Thank you for making time for us. Rian Skiepas is the director at K Wood Attorneys.